At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
I did.
It is a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA. Even if your allergies are kicking your ass like mine, even if your stomach is doing things to you that only dude wipes can save you from, like Kabali, we welcome you in either way to another edition of Kabali and Matt. Good morning, friends, yinzers, countrymen. Come, lend us your ears and your eyeballs if you're subscribed on YouTube. Make sure you're there because when we get to 3,018 subscribers, we'll give away your choice. Either the autographed Stone Cold Steve Austin black leather vest sitting right over here. Got it still wrapped in the plastic, ready to ship to whoever wants it. Or you may choose that autographed Will Hard Steelers helmet. That's sitting right here, too. Still in the box, ready to go. Don't forget to follow on all the social media, too. Facebook, Instagram, X. I noticed we're close to like 1,000 followers on Twitter X now. Kaboom, which is good. We may have to do something when we get there as well. But for one of our first 500 followers on Instagram, we got this beautiful $100 gift certificate to Yoli's Cucina and Craft House. Perfect place to maybe stop on a Friday night after the high school football game. You see Kaboom there in his TJ hat. Jags looking to bounce back after an ugly loss. Today was Antelopes last week on the road. Nobody cares about high school football. They're here to talk Steelers. Well, no, some of you do care, and we care, but we realize why you're here, and there's plenty to talk about because Aaron Rodgers spoke yesterday. A couple guys who are going to be counted on in a big way at least this week and maybe for the next several weeks. Talked to Kaboom over the last couple days. He wrote about it. Go check it out. He is, of course, the Steelers correspondent for the Pat McAfee Show, so go follow him on X so you can read what he's writing every single day, building up to a game against the New England Patriots, which we'll get to in a second. Foxborough, Gillette Stadium, or otherwise, has been a house of horrors for the Steelers, really our entire lifetimes. But first, let's thank our good friends at Southwest Greens who have been on board with Kabali and Mac since the very beginning, and we can't possibly thank them enough for that support. You want a beautiful yard that you don't have to spend so much time and money on mowing and watering and feeding and fertilizing and trimming and weed killing and all that nonsense. Get grass that never needs to be mowed, watered, or fertilized. None of that nonsense. The best looking yard in the neighborhood with the least amount of maintenance. They're proud to supply and install artificial grass that'll save you, your family, and maybe your business time and money, helping you concentrate on more important things. Go to southwestgreenspa.com. Tell Jake that Kabali and Mac sent you. We appreciate their support. Before we get into all that, there was news yesterday that we learned of before the show, but it hadn't been really released to the public, so we didn't address it because we didn't want to be the people to bring it up first, quite honestly. Dale Lally, who covered the team for years, and was a member of the Steelers media for a long time, had most recently been doing a show for the Steelers on their website alongside Matt Williamson, passed away at the far too early age of 56. Kaboom. You worked with Dale a lot more than I did. I had the chance to work with him on just a couple of occasions over the years because we worked for different companies most of the time. But Dale was a good dude. I mean, that's the simplest way to put it. A great guy who loved sports. I know he was really involved with youth baseball down in Washington, yep, his neck of the woods. and was just a straight up good guy, straight shooter, who you could have a good conversation with about football, family, anything else. So to his wife, Amy, his family, his kids, Noah, Tanner, Madeline, and his entire family, sincere condolences from both Mark and myself, and I think most of the people who consume Steelers media around the nation and around the world. Dale, going to be really, really missed.
Yeah. It was a kind of subdued day down there today. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've heard, you knew something was going on. I mean, we saw him at training camp. This has been a couple year battle. He beat cancer one time and came back. He struggling a little bit more recently, but you know, you can always tell by what a guy means by just the outpouring of support, and you saw it on all the social media platforms yesterday of just the outgoing support of Dale. And I mean, you know, I've known him since we're very similar, as in we worked for small time newspapers,
uh-huh.
Did high school stuff, did Steelers on the side to get ahead, then was able to improve our careers through that as well. I mean, we rode on the team plane for a decade together, traveling across the country, different type of settings. But, you know, just more recently when my boy was struggling playing youth baseball, I would post some videos on Facebook, you know, and he would send me some tips, text messages saying, hey, try this, this, and this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just a nice guy, and it's a shame.
Yeah. So again, to Dale's family and everybody who was close with him, our condolences. It's just terrible at that age, 56, to lose someone. So just
everybody wants to know what happened in New Orleans. I did mention that on Twitter.
Oh, you did? Yeah. What did Dale save you from on Bourbon Street?
Well, right? It was 2002 was one of my first trips ever covering the Steelers,
mm-hmm.
in New Orleans. Didn't know much of anybody. I was just a young pup, obviously, 20 whatever odd years ago. Get off the plane, head straight to Bourbon Street. I don't know where I'm. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know anything what's going on. I don't even know where we were staying at. It was outside the French Quarter. So I jump in the car with a bunch of guys, pursuing the guys, and head down. You know, you get into Bourbon Street, and things start to happen. A lot of people there. I end up getting kind of inebriated to the point where I was just basically sitting on the ground next to an establishment, thinking to myself, I am inebriated. I have no idea where I'm at, where I'm staying. Even if I tried to get back to my hotel, I don't know what the hotel was. Nothing whatsoever. And I just happened to glance up, and there's Lolly walking by. And I was like, Lolly! And mind you, it's not like he was in perfect health at the time as well, but he was much better than me at that time. So
he at least knew where he was going and where he had to be.
So he basically, for the lack of better terms, scooped me up, got in the car, and got back to the hotel. And a couple hours later, we were in New Orleans watching. We were at the Superdome watching the Steelers lose to the Saints because Deuce McAllister ran for about 180 yards. But if not, who knows what would have happened on that French Quarter night, because, like I said, I had no clue what was going on, where I was. And we always brought that up, I mean, constantly. He's like, if it wasn't for me, you would still be in
you'd still be in New Orleans.
Yeah, so it wasn't like I was getting arrested or anything, but it was just, you know.
He saved you.
20-some-year-old kid.
You didn't need to be lost in the French Quarter. That would have been bad.
Plus, I had no idea where the hotel was. Apparently, it was like 7 miles away. You know? What the hell do I know? I had no clue.
You would have walked all night.
I mean, you get to the French Quarter and Bourbon Street, and all of a sudden, everybody just, I mean, get lost.
Scattered. Yeah. So. Well, rest in peace, Dale. Thank you for saving Kaboom from himself 20-plus years ago in the French Quarter.
That's been 23 now. 23?
Yeah, we're not getting any younger, pal.
Wow.
I know, after celebrating a birthday yesterday. I did want to bring up just the numbers on Foxborough. because, you know, we know as Steeler fans how tortured they've been by the Patriots. At least during the Brady Belichick era, they were. And I went back and I looked at some of the numbers over the history of the Patriots being in the NFL. Do you know how many times, Mark, the Steelers have won at New England in the franchise's history?
Well, I don't know about the franchise. Well, I know they lost a playoff game in, what, 97 with Curtis Martin, I do believe.
That was 98.
Whatever. I know
97.
I know the only game they won was when Brady didn't play.
Right, Matt Castle, 2008.
I think it was the great Lawrence Timmons returned a ball down to the 1 foot line. So, other than that, I'm going to just say one win.
I'm going to answer my own question. The Pittsburgh Steelers have won at New England 4 times.
Well, that's surprising. And most of those had to come in the 60s. And was it the AFL?
Well, so their first game against the Patriots was 1972. That was at Three Rivers. Steelers won that one. But as far as winning at, and look, there was a long time where the Patriots were garbage, like the post Steve Grogan Super Bowl 20, all the way up until
one of my favorite teams of all time. One of my favorite teams of all time.
Really?
Andre Tippett.
Oh, yeah.
Great secondary. Yeah, Tony Collins, Craig James, Tony Eason. Man.
But there was
I was a big Andre Tippett guy. I was a big Andre Tippett fan. Yeah.
There was a window in the late 80s through mid-90s, right? So in between that era that you're talking about and the Curtis Martin era, where the Steelers beat the Patriots 5 times in a row. They were all at Three Rivers, though.
Huh.
They have just 4 wins in Foxborough. 1974, Chuck Knoll. 1979, they went to OT to beat them, also under Chuck Knoll. 97, Bill Cowher, regular season of 97 now, not the playoff game in January of 97. Cowher had to go to overtime to beat them. And then the Matt Castle game that you referenced in 2008. Mm-hmm. So people talk about the stability of Steelers head coaches over the years and how they've had just 3 head coaches in, you know, 55 years. Each one of those greats has no more than 2 wins in Foxborough. Knoll with 2, Cowher with 1, Tomlin with 1. It has been just a disaster when the Steelers go to New England.
Yeah, for no reason. I mean, I could see they've struggled over the years in Seattle. I mean, I think they might have won 1 game ever there. Well, you're going 5.5 hours west, and that can be understandable. You play there every 8 years. But New England, like you said, it's not like that was a model organization for, you know, 20, 30 years. But that is kind of surprising that they had that much success against them in some of those games. I mean, if I do recall, the Patriots put up the old 50-burger on the old Dick LeBeau teams, right?
That's what I was going to say, is most of them during the Belichick-Brady era have been blowouts. Yeah. I mean, if I go back to, let's see, I'll go all the way back to 2007. They lost up there by 3 touchdowns, 34-13. They lost there.
Anthony Smith.
2013, they lost there. There's the 50 burger, 55-31. 2 years later, they lost there in September. That was a tight one. They only lost by a score, 28-21. And then, of course, the 2017 AFC Championship game. They lost that one by 19. They lost in 2019, 33-3. And what was an early season game? They go up there and they just get waxed.
Yeah, that 17 team, if I recall, they had a very good offensive team there, but man, their defense was awful and they were flawed, especially in the secondary. And that's when Brady was just able to pick them apart. If I do recall, didn't like Todd Haley have some kind of weird ass end around call on the first drive of the game that went for like negative 10 yards? I think that was the D'Angelo Williams game, too, maybe.
It was a D'Angelo Williams game, yes.
I remember a lot of those games.
I'm looking at, I can't find the play-by-play on it right now, so I can't tell you about that end around, but yeah.
It was like really early in the game. Maybe it was Antonio. I'm not quite sure. It was first drive of the game, I believe, and it just set the tone for like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah, D'Angelo had 24 carries or 34 yards on 14 carries. Yeah. So not the best place to go to try and get things fixed after a couple of poor weeks on defense, giving up 30 plus points in the first two games for the first time in what's it been? I want to say in like 20 years. So, but maybe, just maybe, some young guys step in and help them turn things around. Real quick before we get into your discussions with Nick Herbig and Jack Sawyer, our neighbor, in just a second. I want to thank Archie's for getting on board here. Arch is the best, tonight included, 80-cent wings every Monday through Thursday night down at Archie's on Carson, the best place for food, drinks, and to watch the games. There is a Thursday night game tonight, so get down there, get something to eat, whether it's the 80-cent wings, burger, pizza, sandwich, whatever it may be. Great drink specials too, ice cold iron all the time, waiting for you down at Archie's. Again, the best place to go watch the game and get some wings. We appreciate Arch supporting the show here.
Do we have to pick that game, by the way? Bills and Dolphins?
We should. Bills. There. Done. Go ahead. Pick the Dolphins. Go ahead.
Yeah. You know, the only way you can win is if you can win. Or only time you can run the ball, if you can run the ball. I'm trying to do my Mike McDaniel.
Oh, he might not have a job tomorrow morning if they go up there and get waxed. That's a distinct possibility. As for the Steelers going places and hopefully turning it around defensively and not getting waxed as they traditionally do in Foxborough, you wrote it. It went up this morning about the guys that have to step up in Alex Highsmith's absence. We'll get to the Aaron Rodgers media availability in just a couple minutes, including some funny stuff he had to say. But first, Nick Herbig saying, bring it. Bring it. I'm ready. You think they're not going to run at me? Of course they're going to test us, wouldn't you? And Jack Sawyer wasn't as vociferous in what he had to say, but Herbig and Sawyer sound like a couple of guys that understand that they might have a bullseye on them from Mike Vrabel and Josh McDaniels, and they better step up.
Yeah, I mean, you got a rookie left tackle who is a high draft pick for the Patriots. You have a run game that they want. You obviously want to run the ball, but those two guys, Travion Henderson and Ramondre Stevenson, haven't really had a great start to the season. So they would like to get off the old schneid here and running the ball here. So, of course, I mean, you're going to run the ball. And I found it quite interesting just looking it up. Herbig has started 5 games, mm-hmm. I believe. It was only 7 times in his career he's played more than 50% of the snaps. And the numbers aren't good. I mean, they're 2-5. They've allowed 100 yards rushing in all but like one of those games. Teams are averaging 105, 110 yards rushing per game with Herbig out there. I'm not saying it's all Herbig's fault. And I have to tell you another thing is if Herbig's 240, then I'm about 180. That's another thing there too because he's listed at 240. He ain't no 240. Now, Jack Sawyer is different. He's going to be that size. He's obviously that size. But, yeah, you're going to keep doing what they're doing until you show that you can stop it. So they're going to run the ball to that side of the field, and they're going to say, Nick Herbig, you're going to have to try to stop it. Jack Sawyer, you're going to have to try to stop it. And maybe occasionally they brought up the Marvin Leal from the practice squad. He might get a couple of snaps at it. Now, he's the biggest of them all. He'll be floating in there and out there, but that's something you have to keep an eye on. I think we take for granted how well of a player Alex Highsmith is, how good he is, how, you know, versatile he is, how he can set the edge. Of course, they've run the ball to that side almost exclusively in the past 2 games, but I don't really blame it 100% on him on that one. So they got a tall task ahead of them, and they know that it's coming. They know it's coming, and they're waiting for it. The question is, can they stop it? And whoever, if they do, I think that's where the game's won or lost. I mean, if those guys are able to perform, Sawyer, Herbig, up to the capabilities that you think they can, And mind you, Jack Sawyer got 40 career snaps.
Yeah.
Herbig, like I said, has only played 50% of the snaps 7 times in his career. That will go a long way in being able to determine the outcome of this game.
Am I wrong to have sort of an irrational level of confidence in those two? I mean, you just laid out the numbers and how teams have run the ball when Herbig's had to start. And again, it's not all on Herbig. Yeah. But I liked Herbig since he started to get play in his first year. And I like Sawyer a lot. I think they can both be impact players. I don't fear that the Patriots are going to win this game by simply running right at whoever is on that edge over and over and over again. I'm more worried about the inside stuff and just getting walloped up front and pancaked the way they have on the D line specifically, maybe not so much on the edge. Maybe it's illogical and irrational, but I have a certain level of confidence in those two, despite their inexperience.
I mean, Sawyer's played at an extremely high level in college. I know it's college, but I mean, some might say that's, you know, the triple A of the NFL now. There might be more professional football players on that Ohio State team last year than maybe the Carolina Panthers
right? They had something like 13 draft picks off that team or something. I mean, you're right. They may have more NFL talent in Columbus than they do in Charlotte.
Yeah, so I think he's ready. It's just a matter of – and what I think is benefit towards him is he played that defensive end like position in Ohio State. So this shouldn't be anything new to him other than just standing up, right, instead of his hand in the ground. So he should be feeling a lot more comfortable, a lot more natural against stopping the run right there. Have Herbig try to create some, you know, like I told him, and I mean, I hate to say that the ball finds you, I told him, because really he finds the ball. I mean, that's the bottom line. Over the past 2 years, somehow he's always around the ball.
Right.
And I would not anticipate that being any differently just because he's going to be starting for the next couple of weeks as well. But you're right. I mean, what do they say? The shit flows downhill.
Right.
If the defensive end, whoever is going to be, if it's going to be Harmon, whoever, if it's going to be Benton's going to be out there, if they don't live up to their capabilities, if Peyton Wilson and or Patrick Queen don't pick up their game, then I don't think it matters what Herbig or Sawyer does.
Yeah, again, they're despite the fact that they're going to be combining to fill in for a guy, and Highsmith is better, I think, than a lot of people give him credit for, because he's a good two-way player. He can play the run and the pass, like you said. He sets the edge a lot of times. He's got to deal with a lot being on the other side of the formation from TJ Watt. I saw him referred to by somebody as a ham and egger, and he's easily replaceable the other day.
Ham and egger?
Yeah, I don't think he's easily replaceable.
They don't pay ham and egger $68 million.
Right. I think despite that, despite how much I'm praising Highsmith, I think they're lucky to have guys like Herbig and Sawyer behind him. Yeah. And I don't suspect that will be, maybe I'll be proven wrong on Sunday afternoon and we'll be talking something completely different at like 4:45, 5 o'clock.
Yeah. Look what they had to go with the past couple of years. I mean, the Preston Smiths of the world and who's the guy that forced his way out from the Chargers? I always forget his name. Well, what I'm saying is there wasn't really a quality depth at that position, which they seem like they at least are on the right track this year of having some quality depth here. Like Liel, I'm kind of interested. Mm. I mean, if you're going to tell him just to go up there and beat the hell out of the guy in front of you, the guy's big enough and strong enough to be able to do that. So I don't know how much opportunity he might get. I'm sure there's
I'm sure there's
10 snaps left in him, right?
This feels like the next 3 or 4 weeks, however long Highsmith is out, is his opportunity to prove that he still belongs somehow on an NFL roster. And if he doesn't make the most of that opportunity, then as soon as Highsmith's healthy, Liel's gone. I mean, maybe he ends up back on the practice squad, but like he just... And I get it. He hasn't really had a set position since he came into the league. He's been all over the place. His size, he's kind of a tweener. But, like, the dude has just never lived up. What was he drafted in, the 3rd round or the 4th?
it was early. You know what I told? I've said this story before about him. Is I think that they were not fooled, but kind of surprised of how unprepared he was coming out of Texas A&M.
Yeah.
Under
what it would have been Jimbo then, right?
Yeah, Jimbo Fisher, right?
Yeah.
How little he was prepared and didn't do him any favors, so it took him a while to be able to get to that point right now. Hey, it's a money year for him. He's lucky to even have this opportunity. So it might be a fainting one. What is it? Fleeting one.
There
a fleeting
go.
Chance, right? But he has an opportunity to, hey, somebody might be interested in him next year. So he has to look at it like that.
Yeah, that's the one piece I would worry about. If he's playing any more than like the 10 or 15 snaps that you mentioned, I think they could be in a bad way. But I again, maybe it's illogical. Maybe it's irrational. I trust Sawyer and Herbig on that side in stepping up to replace Highsmith to a certain extent. I don't think if they lose the game, it'll be because those two get run over.
Yeah. What about TJ? You know, there's a misnomer about him sitting out of so many plays, and that really bothers me. Just breaking it down,
Don. I mean,
he misses about 7 snaps per game over his career. Is that like unacceptable or something? What are we talking about here? He literally missed like 14, 15 snaps this year. And that's basically about 6 to 7 snaps a game over the past couple of years.
I think there's a number of factors that go into it. One, when he's off the field, it's very noticeable, obviously, right? He's the most talented guy on the roster. You're paying, and then compound it with you're paying him a ton of money, right? Defensive player of the year caliber guy every single year. People notice when he's not on the field. And people notice when the highest paid guy at his position in the league, the highest paid non-quarterback before Micah Parsons got his deal, is not on the field. So I think those two things make it very visible. And then when you compound it with, oh, your defense isn't playing well and he doesn't have a sack in 6 games, it probably feels like he's missing more than 7 plays per game.
That's been like that for years. People say, whoa, where's TJ? I'm nice of him taking the time off. I mean,
also, I'd want to know what it is in relation to other star edge rushers.
Well, you can't compare him to like Patrick Green, Robert Spillane, Jalen Ramsey. Know, those guys play 100% of the snaps.
That's like how many snaps a game does Myles Garrett miss? How many snaps a game does Max Crosby miss? Those are the guys I would want to match it up against. Or do they play 100% of their snaps too?
I thought that.
But I think to your point, it's very noticeable when he's not on the field. That's why it becomes a storyline.
I think it's just something for people. Well, I'll put it this way. I'm looking right now. Myles Garrett's played 76% of the snaps last year. I think TJ was closer to 80. So.
Okay. I mean, in that case, there's not much room for criticism, is there?
I think he's played all games. Yeah, he played all 17 games. He plays 40 to 50 snaps a game, just like TJ. I mean, I don't know, it's just something that bothers me sometimes that you're nitpicking over a guy that sits out of 7 plays a game.
Yeah, and like I've said before, the timing of those plays matters too. Like, I hate seeing him off the field on.
He does it very strategically. I've asked him about this before. If they're on defense or if they're on offense and they have a big time off, you know, he'll skip the first 2 downs of the impending series, then play off. And plus, your dog's going crazy.
I know. It's freaking ridiculous.
Is Impact HVAC there?
No, nobody's here. I don't know why the dog's barking.
Yeah, dog, it really distracted me, man.
It's so simple to – it's the simplest things that distract you. How did the color consultation go with our friends at Higgins Painting?
The wife.
Our woman took care of that.
The wife was on, like, some kind of Zoom call with something and sending some stuff over. So I don't know where – it's out of my hands now. You know how that is.
But you don't even know how it went? Like,
oh, she said it went well. Yeah.
Okay. But, I would suspect.
I'm like, how'd it go? I don't know, pretty good. Okay. Let's move on from there. You know, this is not my gig. This is your office. You can do what you want.
Okay.
I want warm tones. Like, okay, whatever.
Well, the important part is they came over, they sat down with her, they had a talk about what exactly they're going to do. Higgins Professional Painting, we appreciate them supporting the show. They're going to get some work done at Kaboom's Haas. Maybe I'll have them over once they're done with the extensive work over there in your neighborhood. But they do a great job. They come over, they consult with you, get you a free estimate, whether it's interior, exterior. They'll do the drywall repair as well to make everything look as good as new. They can do commercial and industrial painting as well. Keep your home in great shape and boost the curb appeal and just make it more comfortable. Honestly, when you like the way it looks, you're going to feel better in your own home. If you're ready to talk to them about your project and get your free estimate, get in touch with them at HigginsProfessional.com or give them a call. The number's on the screen if you're watching, 412-344-0480. Again, we appreciate their support.
Yeah, you want to freshen up before the holidays, right? You know,
yeah.
Having some family members over, having a gyro eating contest.
It's not a gyro eating contest anymore.
Maybe
you can't put them away like I used to.
Maybe you can get in there and get some a room done.
Man, there would be nothing better than going to get gyros back in the day after a night out. You know, it's Mike, a quarter to two in the morning. You're at Mike and Tony's on the south Mike side.
With a big Chris Camuatu jersey signed there.
Yep. Getting a Schneider's iced tea and a couple of gyros and just housing them before you go home and pass Schneider's, out.
That's my neighbor.
Yeah, Schneider's iced
tea. He actually recommended somebody to steal my driveway. And so be it. The guy got back to me instantly, got me a quote, and is going to be coming next week. Boom, bang. Boom, 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 boom.
Ask him if he's ready to advertise on Kabali and Mac.
Well, he did say, well, aren't you the one on the radio? I enjoy your work. I really respect you. I'm like, well, I don't know about that.
You don't know me well enough then, pal.
But can you please do my God-torn driveway because nobody else will do it?
Aaron Rodgers spoke yesterday. A couple of different things in here. Some of them I found really funny. Some of them were kind of insightful about the offense and what needs to get done. But one of the first things he was asked about is just this Jaylen Warren. He looked pretty good last week. What are your thoughts on Jaylen Warren so far through the first few weeks, Aaron?
About Jaylen Warren, just in the time that you've gotten to know him during the practice and now in a couple games.
He's a quiet guy. He hasn't seen Point Break before, which was surprising considering it's a surfing movie.
We're going to have to talk about that in just a second, too, by the way.
He's probably seen North Shore. I actually haven't asked him about that yet. But he's kind of what I thought from afar. You know, I think the biggest compliment I can give him is, you know, when you're behind a four straight 1,000-yard rusher, you're seen as a change-up back. And you know, he's a guy who could be a number one back on any team in the league. So really thankful for him. I think the play that he had the other day was one of the greatest catch and runs I've seen. You know, Donald Driver had a crazy one back in 2009 where a guy fell over his back and he was drilled on the 5-yard line and somehow got in. But that catch and run and those jukes that he made was pretty incredible.
So here's just a thought. I think it's great that Aaron Rodgers is praising Jaylen Warren the way he did. And that everybody's super impressed with the 65-yard catch and run that he had the other day against Seattle. But it feels like for a guy who's, what's he averaging, 3.4 yards a carry or something through the first 2 weeks, the expectations are starting to take off. Aaron's talking about him as a guy who could be a number one back on any team in the league. And I get it. Like, he's being complimentary towards the young guy who's their lead back. Are they seeing something that, aside from that 65-yard catch and run, that's reinforcing their belief all of a sudden? Mike Tomlin praised Jaylen Warren at length in his press conference the other day as well. Are they seeing something that tells them Jaylen Warren is ready to sort of take over? Because, again, at 3.4 yards a carry, I'm not saying he isn't, but we got to see a lot more of what we saw on that 65-yard catch and run in just the regular running game.
Yeah, I think they always know what he brought to the table, or they wouldn't have gave him money out of the blue a week before the season started. So that's one thing. But I think maybe they overestimated Caleb Johnson's participation early in the season. Uh-huh. Maybe they overestimated what Kenny Gainwell could do in a regular single back set. So now all of a sudden it's like, yeah, maybe we should go back to the guy who is looks like a human fire hydrant and just runs people over. So it's now it's up to Arthur Smith in that offense to try to absolutely highlight his running skills. I mean, you have to be able to run the ball with him. The only way you can run the ball with him is, I'm going to sound like Mike McDaniel, only way you can run the ball is if you run the ball. You got to give him the ball. I mean, you got to get him the ball, right?
I mean, how many carries each of the last 2 weeks? 14.
That 14 was late against the Jets, too. Most of that was like third quarter, fourth quarter stuff.
He only had 11 against the Jets, 14 against the Seahawks. So, yeah, they've got to get – he is, I think, like most running backs, a rhythm guy. Like, you get him in a rhythm, you get him out there breaking tackles, he starts to feel it, he starts running downhill. I mean, I'm not saying he's going to be a Pro Bowl or All-Pro running back, but I do think the more work he gets, and I understand when you're down in games or you're not going anywhere on offense, you do have to sling it a little bit more. But I think if they could commit to getting him the ball a little bit more early in games, and I'm kind of talking out of both sides of my mouth here because I talk about how I want them to get out there and get Rodgers in a rhythm. But if you could get Warren involved in the offense, even if it's in the pass game, a little bit more early in games, I think it's better for him.
Yeah, I mean, I go for, yeah, you're right. It goes with any running back whatsoever. But I mean, it's going to be have to be more than just, you know, it's going to have to be schemed up to a degree. You know, it's just going to hand it on first down, hand it on second down. Plus, if he's able to get any success whatsoever running the ball, not only does it help the play action like we talked, but it gives that offensive line a lot of confidence as well, which I think they might be lacking just a little bit. They probably won't admit it, but they'd be lacking some confidence as well. I mean, everything is predicated off the run with this team, and that's what we've been told. That's what we know from the history of Arthur Smith, why they haven't went down that route yet. I am not quite sure, but you got to get the ball to Jaylen Warren a little bit more. And I think you're burying the lead there absolutely on this whole subject.
What? Point Break?
Man, Aaron, he needs to get him a Shane Falco shirt for Christmas. Well, you know, in Jaylen Warren's defense, he was like -7 when that movie came out.
That's true. Well, yeah. What year was Warren born in? Like 2002,
right? He was 28. That movie's probably like at least 35.
Yeah, that movie's 34. Came out in 91.
You know what?
What?
You should go up to him today and say, "Give me two." I always just say that to Kenny. Kenny Laird would always say that to me. Remember Kenny Laird, right?
Yeah. Kenny's a big boss up in Boston now. Shout outs to Ken Laird.
About the meatball, you know, I'm so hungry I can eat an ass end out of Rhino. You know, there's a sandwich shop right around that corner. Go get me two meatballs.
Point Break. Best Swayze movie? Or is it Roadhouse?
You know, I've never watched Roadhouse.
Can I be honest?
Yeah.
Any Swayze classic, whether it's Point Break, Roadhouse, Youngblood. You got some people that'll throw out, you know, your Ghost and your Dirty Dancing, but I have no interest. Thank you. I don't think I've ever watched any of those from start to finish all the way through in one sitting. I think I've seen every piece of those movies at different points, especially when it's like a Saturday afternoon. And back when you used to flip through the channels, right? And you'd flip through the channels to find something and you'd see, you know, Roadhouse. Okay, yeah, I'll watch 15 minutes of this until TBS takes another 20-minute commercial break. Then you'd flip around. Oh, Point Break's on. You'd watch 15 Point minutes break. Of it. I don't think I've ever watched any of those straight through from beginning to end.
Yeah. Point Break, by far, the best movie of the Swayze collection.
You think?
I mean, it's just so many great one-liners in that. I am an FBI agent. This is your wake-up call. Maybe you heard it. It's Radar.
You're just gonna rattle them all off now.
Old Rosie. Yeah, I come across a unclaimed piece of meat in Baja. Apparently took a knife fight with a guy who was bigger than him. I knew you wouldn't miss the 100-year storm, though.
You're just gonna keep going, aren't you?
I can quote the whole movie
front to back.
Well, you know, like I always quote Anthony Kiedis. That would be a waste of time.
A waste of time.
What was the name of that guy? That group? Oh, my goodness.
Which group? What?
That group that beat up Swayze.
Keanu Reeves?
Keanu Reeves, the surfers.
I can't remember. Like I said, I've seen 6 minutes at a time of each of those movies, and I'm pretty sure I don't have any idea how any of them go in chronological order because I've just pieced the movie together.
I've realized I've probably watched the movie Remember the Titans 299 times, but I've probably never seen the first 5 minutes of it.
First 5 minutes.
How's it start? Bunker Weiss. There you go. That's it.
Man, how does Remember the Titans start?
That's what I'm saying.
That's a great question. Does it just start with the school being integrated, maybe? Like the first day of school or something? I think it starts right on like the first, or maybe it's during, now I got to go back and watch it for a 512th time. Because I can't remember now how Remember the Titans starts. Jeez. The other thing Rodgers was asked about is what else they need to see from the run game.
Perspective, what's kind of the next step that you'd like to see in the run game going into this week?
10-plus yard runs, I think. That's what Pat wants to see. That's what Mike T wants to see. That's what Art wants to see. You know, our backs are slippery enough. We got to get them up to the second level clean.
Are you confident, Kaboom, because you've been a big proponent of give this offensive line time together, let them gel, let them become, as Mike Tomlin would say, let them find some cohesion. Are you confident that we're going to start to see this running game break out just a little bit in the next couple of weeks? Because if they don't, then the offense is going to continue to stagnate, and then we're talking about a lot of the same stuff we saw against Seattle.
Yeah, if they give them an opportunity, like I said, they want to have their 10-yard runs, but they got to run the ball more than, you know, 20 times per game to be able to get those 10-yard runs. You have to commit to it to a degree, but not commit to it where it limits what you're able to do, what else, everything else that you want to do as well. Yeah, you got the Patriots they can run against. They got the Vikings. Vikings got a pretty good D-line, but they're a little older. I think they could be had. I thought Bijan. Oh, was Bijan the other day? Who did the Vikings play the other day?
Yep,
looked,
Bijan.
But Bijan's just a freaking different animal.
Yeah.
And then you got the Browns and obviously the Bengals. I mean, you have a schedule here that's conducive to being able to run the ball. So I think, the more you get them opportunities, will be the better off they will be able to get this thing together quicker. So they have to run the ball. I mean,
my only worry is
you have to run the ball. I mean, you can't run the ball where it stymies everything else, but you have to really commit to the run.
Well, that's my only worry, is that a commitment to running the ball, especially early in the game, is going to lead you to some three and outs, some short drives. And the one thing they have done early in games, even if they haven't punched it into the end zone, is they've at least gotten a few points on the board with each of their first drives in these first two games. And again, I think there's a huge benefit to getting Rodgers in a rhythm early. I saw the numbers earlier today. When he gets rid of the ball in less than 2.2 seconds, he's, I want to say, fourth in the league in quarterback rating or something. When it's longer than that, he's 31st or something.
That's probably a lot of them, though.
Well, yeah, a lot of guys, the longer they hold onto the ball, obviously, they're not as good. But I'm talking about a ranking relative to the rest of the quarterbacks in the league. One, two, bang, out. One, two, out. And I think there was some hesitation on his part. Maybe it's the receivers not getting open. There was some hesitation on his part, especially against Seattle early in the game, where he waited for another look to develop that maybe didn't, or, you know, came open too late. And you get him in a rhythm early, I think it reduces some of that happy feet back there. The offensive line knows that they don't have to hold on to blocks for more than 3.5-4 seconds at a time. I don't want to say that's more important to me than the running game, because you have to be able to run the ball, but that's a delicate balance early in a football game.
Yeah. I mean, mostly when you're going to get those numbers that really start to stack on top of each other in the second half when you commit to it.
Uh-huh.
And like I've said before with Jaylen Warren, man, you get him the ball in that second half, there's some business decisions that need to be made, because you don't appreciate how compact and strong that guy is until you're right next to him.
Yeah.
You don't want to tackle him. You don't want to tackle him. You sure the hell don't want to tackle him in the third and the fourth quarter, but you got to get to that point to be able to be, you know, be able to run the ball and have a rhythm for that to take place right now. So it's tough, because you want to take advantage of some of the other stuff as well, too, right? Aaron Rodgers is a guy that's probably playing the best out of them all. You don't want to just totally negate what he can do.
No.
You don't want to take DK Metcalf out of it. You got some tight ends that you like to get involved as well. So it's a fine balance. Fine line, as Bill Cowher said.
Fine line.
Fine line.
Thanks to Nail Studio 2 for supporting the show. We appreciate them. They've been great in jumping on board with Kabali and Mac. I know if you're like me and you got a teenage daughter, it's homecoming season coming up here soon. They want to get their nails done. Maybe you spend a lot of time on your feet and they're killing you and you want to get them taken care of. There's nothing wrong with that, guys. Go get your feet taken care of. Good pedicure, get rid of the calluses, the rough spots, and tired feet, so you can stay comfortable and be at your best all day. Or you just want to take care of somebody else in the family, the wife, the daughter, whoever it may be. Nail Studio 2 is the place, right out there on 19 next to Lakeview Square, or in Lakeview Square next to Juniper Grill in Peters Township. You can book online 24/7, nailstudio2.com. That's a Roman numeral 2. So nailstudioii.com. Or pick up the phone and give them a call if you prefer, 724-941-4595. We appreciate them supporting the show. So we talked about the Steelers having a terrible track record in Foxborough over the years. Aaron Rodgers was asked about his history in Foxborough, and it's pretty limited, being in the NFC most of his career. He hasn't played there a ton. But one memory specifically did come to mind of a time he was there, even if he wasn't playing.
In 2010, Matt Flynn played well, but we gave up one of the greatest plays I've been a part of in my NFL history, and that's when Dan Connolly had a kickoff return that almost went for a touchdown. Hated that it was against us, but as a lover of the big guys, when they get opportunities to show their athleticism, there may have been a few of us on the sideline who had a very tiny, quiet go. On that play, but it'd be nice to get a win there.
71. You remember Dan Connolly rumbling?
The best part of that was his cut to the middle of the field, the cut he made around the 20-yard line. It's like, what the hell? He could be a freaking he's modern version of Najee Harris.
Maybe a little faster.
Cut to the inside, he almost got there. It's like, what the hell?
Who's the Steelers' offensive lineman most likely to rip off a 71-yard kick return? Who would it be?
Offensive lineman.
Well, yeah, we're talking offensive lineman.
Probably Broderick. I'd say Broderick Jones.
You think?
Dude, he can dunk without even taking a step. He can just sit there and dunk, boom. Hits the threes, very athletic, quick. Yeah, I don't think say Amalu's going to do it. Fautanda's going to do it. If we're picking one of the five, going Broderick Jones.
I thought you'd say McCormick.
McCormick would just try to hit somebody. I mean, he would just look for contact.
I mean, that might be good, especially when you get down to the kicker. Just right in the mush.
Yeah, now I think about it. I wish Dan Connolly would have scored. Now I think about it. He's right.
How far? What do you get? Take it down to like the 5-yard line or something?
It was like 5 or 10. The cut inside, right around the 10 or 15-yard line, was spectacular.
It was fantastic.
Put that left foot in the ground. Boom.
Put that foot in the ground. I don't know if it's quite as explosive as you're describing it, but it was fun to watch.
That's pretty funny that that's the play he remembers.
I mean, his memory too, Rodgers.
Oh yeah.
He remembers a lot of those little things from past years that stick in his head about past experiences, definitely.
Smart guy.
Yeah, he's pretty smart. Thanks to Impact HVAC for supporting the show as well. We appreciate them. It's going to be 86 today, which is wild. Maybe your AC isn't doing what you want it to do, even though it's cool in the morning. Maybe that's the problem. It doesn't run at night, and then it kicks on and doesn't do what you want it to do during the afternoon. Or maybe you just want to get the furnace tuned up before it really gets cold out later this fall and winter. Either way, any issues, Impact HVAC PGH, the people to get a hold of right there on Facebook. You can message them or give them a call, 412-297-1852. We appreciate Tony and the crew supporting Kabali and Mac. So this was interesting. And I don't know. Maybe you're cooking something up. Maybe you have nothing to do with it. But there was an interesting response from Aaron Rodgers about one question in particular.
To do any outside media availabilities once a week, whether it's on McAfee or anything, the season's in which she hadn't done anything for the first couple weeks.
No comment.
No comment, he says, on the outside media availabilities, particularly when McAfee was brought up. You cooking something up behind the scenes while you're hiding behind the curtain when Rodgers is talking?
Actually, I wasn't even over there when he was talking. I was, you know, I was strategically going to talk to other people so I wouldn't get gangbanged. So
it's a nice way to put it.
So, yeah, you know, honestly, I mean, I don't know anything, of course, but you would think that if it was a weekly appearance on Pat's show that it would have started already.
I meant for us. Come on.
Oh, I thought you.
No, Aaron, there. We'll get him some art. We'll take him to Archie's.
Yeah, I'm sure that will really. I mean, if he's a Washington County guy, maybe we could take him to. I'm not taking him to the second Fiore's, right? What's a good place to eat at in Washington?
Washington. There's some good places down
there. I'll take you to a Wild Things game.
Aren't they in the playoffs? The Frontier League playoffs?
Oh, what a.
I see no reason why we can't convince Aaron Rodgers that some Archie's wings would be good for him. Maybe an ice cold iron on a Tuesday night.
You think he's a wing guy?
I don't know
either. I don't think he's like a Tom Brady seaweed ice cream guy or whatever the hell he used to eat.
I don't think so either, but
we already know that Rodgers is an Iron City guy, so he's drinking some brewskis. Right.
This is what we need you to get to the bottom of. This is what I hoped he was alluding to, that maybe you were working on something behind the scenes and you were keeping it real quiet.
I just like how he said that's no a comment. No. I mean, well, yeah, he's going to come on this podcast. You pay it?
Why not? Come on. You're a lovable guy.
Can we get Dan Heck to sponsor Aaron Rodgers' segment? Oh, shit.
I mean, it depends what Aaron's looking for. Something tells me it might not be in the budget, but, you know.
He's looking for a new house.
A one-off? A freebie?
Maybe. Now I think about it. Aaron, you can go down to the nail studio, right? Probably not far from where you're at.
Right,
we get you some free manicures and pedicures.
Get the feet taken care of.
All you gotta do is come on the show for a half hour.
That's it. That's all.
That's it. We'll get you a free pedicure.
We'll get his new house painted. We'll get him a great looking yard. Southwest Greens will get out there. We'll get him some wings from Archie's. We'll sell the old place with Dan Heck, and we'll make sure the HVAC at the new place is running with Impact. And
we'll get him a ticket to the Marc-Andre Fleury signing.
Yes.
Well, even though he'll be in New England at the time, but
doesn't matter. He's Aaron Rodgers. The Fleury signing's at noon. When's the plane takeoff on Saturday? He's got time.
2:30 maybe.
Yeah. See, he's got time. He's Aaron Rodgers. He can make all this happen. You just got to ask. What I tell you all the time. Doesn't hurt to ask.
Yeah. I don't think I'm going up to Aaron Rodgers. Hey, you want to come on my podcast, man?
Why not? He knows you.
because I got a conscience.
What are you talking about?
I don't like to be laughed at in my face. At least laugh behind my back.
I mean, that would be good content. Aaron, you want to come on a Kabbalah and Mac podcast? No, get the hell out of here. That's a great story. Or he goes,
You know what? Maybe if I do, if I run into him, I'll be like, hey, I heard that question about outside media availability. I'm like, hey, there's always a spot on the podcast for
you. Yep. We always, hey, we can always pop another window open right in the middle between the two of us. Right there. It's just waiting for him. Come on. Let's do it. Get it done.
Yeah, you have a better chance of me eating spinach or something. I don't know.
I'm going to come down there, just crash the party one day, ask him myself, get
you
laughed
would, at. You were like asking for like, you're probably asking for money, knowing you.
Why would I ask him for money?
I don't know. You ask everybody for everything, so.
If I got tickets I'm looking to get, I'll ask somebody if they have them. Yeah, sure.
Tickets. How's Jeremy Piven? That's your BFF.
No, haven't talked to him in a while, surprisingly. Thanks to the guys at the Third Do First In podcast. They've got great guests, even if they don't get Aaron Rodgers either. That firefighter, first responder lifestyle. You want to hear some of the crazy stories from Keith, Gino, their guests. By all means, go check it out on social media and on YouTube at Third Do First In. And get a slice of that lifestyle if you're not in it, or if you are in it, hear some of the crazy stories that'll confirm that you're not the only one going through it. We appreciate their support of the show. Tomorrow we'll do a preview of the game itself and pick results for the rest of the NFL games this weekend. Kaboom has got to head down there and talk to some coordinators this morning, but we're inching closer to the Steelers and the Patriots on Sunday afternoon, and this time we'll actually do a post-game live reaction podcast. I will not get whipped by my better half into not doing one and having people over the house. Is that all right for you?
I don't know. You sure are pulling out the old whip here. What are we doing, like 6 days in a row here?
No, it's like four or five. You'll be fine.
Aren't podcasts supposed to be like once a week?
That's what some people do. People just, they clamor for it, man. They got to have more Kabbalah. Not so much me, but they got to have more Kabbalah.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, just run out of things to say.
You've never run out of things to say.
Well, interesting things.
You literally could have sat here most of today's episode and just rattled off Point Break lines for 20 minutes.
Oh, absolutely, Point Break lines.
So you never run
out. I'm sure that will get people tuning in.
You'd be surprised. You'd be real surprised. You're not going to Ireland for the game, though, either, are you?
Hell, you know what? You're talking about business decisions. I'm thinking they're not going over until Friday. They'll be there Friday. And I hate traveling. And to be able to go across the ocean just for a day, then cover the game and come back just seems like a waste of time. So I
waste of time.
So to me the price was just too much for the amount there. If I was going to go there, that's where you make it into like, okay, hey, sweetie, you want to go to Ireland for a week?
Make it a trip. Make it a big deal.
Well, yeah, but when you got an 8 and 10-year-old, it's pretty hard to do when they're still in school, you know?
So. Yeah, it's not going to work. Not going to work. Real quick, I got to thank Justin, who always comments on YouTube. The beginning of Remember the Titans is a funeral. Then it flashes back to 10 years earlier. And Coach Patton being told that Denzel's character has been hired to the staff.
Yeah, do you know... Here's a great, great trivia question for you.
Okay.
The guy in Remember the Titans, I don't know if it was Bill Patton, the coach, is also the prick science teacher in Blindside.
Oh, I've never seen Blindside.
What?
Never seen it. Never seen it. I mean, what is so crazy about that?
What? You've never seen Blindside?
No, I've never seen Blindside.
That is weird.
Why is that weird?
Because everybody's seen
the Michael Orr movie?
Everybody's. It's a football movie. What the hell are you talking about?
But it's not particularly good.
Every
is it?
Single person is watching this podcast right now has seen Blindside. Except
I guarantee
you.
Not every except single you. Person.
Oh, I bet you there's the majority of them.
No.
You're full of beans. Blindside.
Yeah. Sandra Bullock, right?
Blindside.
Yeah, never seen it. There we go. Daryl on YouTube just said never Daryl, watched it.
Daryl's lying.
He's not lying. Why would he lie? To spare my feelings?
Oh, Daryl.
Gives a crap.
Daryl must be like.
And Justin is also correcting you and saying that that guy is not in Blindside.
It's absolutely. Let me see here. Remember, you're going to make me do this now.
I'm going to make you do the.
Blindside. He's the hippie science teacher or something.
You're asking the wrong guy.
I'm full cast and crew. Let's see here. You're going to make me prove you wrong.
Okay. I'm looking up Bill Patton's filmography, and I don't see what year did the Blind Side come out?
Here we go right here. Tom Nowicki. Tom Nowicki was also in...
Justin wants to bet you. Hold on, Justin wants to bet you a Yoli's gift card that Bill Patton is not in.
No, it wasn't Bill. It wasn't Bill Patton. The hippie teacher in the Blind Side was also Ed Henry in Remember the Titans. Same thing.
It's not the same thing.
I'm saying it's the same. It's the coach. Yes, it is.
I don't think you're
it's
right.
It's not Bill Patton, but it's the goddamn Ed Henry. Ed Henry and Coach, whatever the hell his name is, the hippie teacher, literature teacher who was making fun of Michael Orr are the same person, even though they don't look like the same. You know, Ed Henry, you know, they just gave up a 90-yard run with 1 second left, and he's like, okay, guys, good season. Always crack me up.
I'm like Daryl. I'm not here to watch a movie about a guy that played for the Ravens. So
He played for the Titans too.
Some of us stay strong. We're not going to go watch Blindside. All right, that's going to do it for today. The last 5 minutes were a complete and total waste, but we appreciate you guys hanging out with us anyway. Maybe not a complete and total waste. Kabali was proven wrong about something, which
no, I wasn't.
Like any other day. We'll do it again tomorrow morning, say around 10:30-ish or so. We'll give you a preview. Detailed preview of Steelers Patriots here, what the coordinators had to say in some instances, if they have anything good to say today. Kaboom will get a nap between now and then, and we'll get you ready for the game on Sunday. Thanks again to everybody for supporting the show and for watching and listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow. See you. Bye.